Our first reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 63. The reading is printed on your order of service, but if you'd like to follow it in the Church Bible, it's on page 1071 or 1890 in the large print version. Many of the early disciples desert Jesus. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this time, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, and you'll find it on your pew sheets if you'd like to follow there. If you'd rather use the church Bibles, it's on page 1176 in the red Bibles, and the large print version is 2069. So we begin Ephesians 5, chapter 20, verse 21, and we read some challenging instructions for the Christian household. "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, by your Spirit, as we gather together this morning to listen to your word, please, Father, may we trust that the Lord Jesus really does have the words of eternal life, and that we be ready to listen, ready to humble ourselves, ready to be changed as you work in our hearts. For your name's sake. Amen. Well, it's easy to be a Christian in church, isn't it? I certainly feel that. But how easy do we find it to be a Christian as we walk out of the doors in the other 167 hours of the week that we aren't dressed in our Sunday best? I guess many of us would admit that our faith and trust in Jesus is perhaps not quite as obvious the further that we are from the church. In those hidden areas of our family lives, our marriages, in the workplace, in our friendships. Last week, looking at the first half of chapter 5, John encouraged us to think about the things that were hidden, perhaps, from God. But we needed to bring into the light, to live as children of light, to be imitators of God in our speech, our thoughts, our behaviour. We saw in chapter 3 of Ephesians that the people of God are the shop window for the new creation. We're the shop window, the brochure, the show home that shows where all of creation is heading. In all of life, to display the glory of Christ. And not just when we're consciously aware that we're the shop window, but in the hidden areas of our lives as well. It's such a shame, isn't it, when the media reports of a church or of a group of Christians where it's so clearly been the case that behind closed doors they haven't been living as imitators of God, of children of light. How that dishonours God, robs him of his glory. Well, as Paul continues to think about life behind closed doors, he focuses in on three areas: marriage, family life, and work life. And framing this whole passage is verse 21. You heard Liz read it at the beginning of that reading. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's that word submit, isn't it? It's the word that makes us wince. I've been at many weddings where this passage is read. And you can look around the church and see people sort of curling up as that word is read. Perhaps no wonder we almost exclusively talk of submission as a negative idea. You might think of the wrestler tapping his hand on the ground to admit defeat, submission. Or an oppressor managing to bully someone into finally submitting. But Bible words have Bible meanings, so we need to try and understand how is this word being used here in Ephesians? And how does the Bible as a whole use the word submit and the whole idea of submission? Well, straight away, a clue that we may not know what this word means is that it's only ever spoken of, from what I can find, in a positive way in the Bible. Spoken of several times as Jesus submits himself willingly and gladly to the Father's plan and the Father's will. In Luke chapter 2, there's a lovely little moment where it mentions how Jesus submitted himself to his parents as a young boy. Submission, rightly understood, cannot be subhuman if the person who best shows us humanity, as it should be, true humanity, gladly gave himself in submission to his parents, to his Father's will, his heavenly Father's will. I think there are two reasons why we find this idea of submission so hard to swallow. Well, firstly, because of the many abuses of power. We look down history, world history, church history, recent history, and we see people abusing power. People with responsibility abusing power. And therefore those who've submitted themselves or are forced to submit to that power are then abused and harmed. That's the first reason why I think we don't trust the idea of submission. And secondly, I think because we live in an age where we still somehow remain convinced that autonomy equals happiness. Self-rule will be the thing that brings us happiness. The spirit of the age tells us that the freer we are from all ties and responsibilities, the happier we will become. But complete autonomy, self-rule, answering to no one, it's both a lonely and dangerous place for us to be. That's why it was so helpful that Grace played those two recordings of an orchestra. Isn't that a wonderful illustration of a submission that is beautiful and powerful? You see, only by submitting to the score that the composer wrote and the conductor as they lead the orchestra, can an orchestra reveal the beauty of the music that's contained within that score. They have to submit themselves to one another, to the leader of each section in the orchestra, to the notes in front of them, to the conductor. And that's the thing that releases then the beautiful music. That's the sort of submission we should have in mind as we read Ephesians chapter 5. And look in verse 21 what the motivation should be as well. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This isn't a sort of distant reverence, a sort of stern figure in the sky. No, this is a deeply relational reverence. The book of Ephesians speaks of what's now true of the believer. How we're in Christ, as close as we could be to the beloved Son of God the Father. It's a relational reverence. We'll go on to see in verse 32 that the picture here is of us being Christ's bride, bound to him in intimate relationship. It's that reverence for Christ that should motivate us to submit to one another lovingly. Well, Paul now spells out what that will look like in three areas. And we get to the controversial part. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Well, the first thing we should notice is that these verses don't stand in isolation. They're followed immediately by an instruction to the other party in this marriage, to husbands. As the wives submit themselves to husbands, it's doing so trusting that the husband will play their part in loving the wife and giving himself up just as Christ gave himself up for the church. It's not a submission that should leave us fearing. It's a submission that should lead us expecting the other party then to be acting for our good, to be acting for the ultimate good, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives. The picture here is of mutual sacrifice. Different roles, different commands to husband and wife, but a mutual sacrifice, a reciprocal love. Now, we live in a fallen world, don't we? And each of us will have had different experiences in all three of these areas, in marriages, in family life, and in the workplace. Experiences that maybe will make us fearful to follow God's pattern, make this teaching hard to swallow, hard to obey. But we have to trust that this pattern is a good one, a worthwhile one, a one that God has given us for our good and also for his glory. Verse 32. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. You see, every earthly marriage points beyond itself, or should point beyond itself, to the one great eternal marriage of Christ and his church. And that's why in each of these exhortations that Paul gives, he says, imagine that Christ is standing behind the person who you are showing respect to. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as if standing behind your husband is the Lord Jesus himself. And he is the one you are really submitting to. Husbands, have in view too the way that Christ loved, the way that he lived. And then as we get into the family instructions, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but bring them up in the training instruction of the Lord. And then when we get into the workplace, described in first century language, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord. You see, in each instance, we're to look beyond and to see the Lord Jesus as the one we are ultimately serving, the one we're ultimately sacrificing ourselves for, trusting that even though it's in the midst of a fallen world where things aren't as they should be, we are doing it for his glory and out of love and reverence for him. So as a wife is called to trust her husband, a husband is called to show that he's worthy of that trust, as both of them look to Jesus in doing that. It doesn't mean there's no discussion, but as we all know, to be responsible means that the buck then stops with you. And that's true of husbands here, of parents, and of bosses. It's not the sort of power that we just use for our own gain. No, it's a responsibility that we're entrusted with by the Lord. A responsibility we're to use well. So there's no room for stubborn pride, no room for excusing the decisions that we've made in whichever role we fall into here. No, we're humbly seeking to carry out the role we've been entrusted with as Christ would have us do it. And for each one of us, whatever our situation here, this passage speaks to us, both in the specifics of these three areas of life, and also in the picture of our marriage to the Lord Jesus. You see, we all long to be known and to know at the deepest level. And our intimate relationship with Christ, described in verse 32, is the most incredible fulfillment of this human desire. I remember being told as a young man that only Jesus Christ can satisfy your deepest longings. I found that a helpful thing to have in mind in the years that followed. If I look to other things to satisfy my deepest longings, I'll end up being broken. Broken by things that can't deliver. But if we look to that great marriage, to our great bridegroom, who gave himself up for us, our deepest longings can be satisfied there. It takes the pressure off marriages. Takes the pressure off a particular career or our children fulfilling all of the things that we most want for them. And we actually perhaps most secretly want for ourselves as well. No, only Jesus Christ can satisfy our deepest longings. That relationship is the one we should look to. Will this be the thing that changes our life behind closed doors? Look down with me one final time at how Paul finishes his letter to the Ephesian church. Chapter 6, verse 24. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Wow. Isn't that an amazing picture? To all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. You see, it's our affections that need to change. That's what's going to change these areas of life. If we really have an undying love for the Lord Jesus, we'll long to carry out the things that Paul speaks of here. We'll long to have marriages that point to Jesus, giving up our own self-interest and living for him instead. We'll long to have families and careers that point to the Lord Jesus. We'll long in all of life, even the secret hidden parts of life, for our lives to point to him. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. May that be us at St. Mary's. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we long that we would love the Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Please show us more of him. Show us how worthy he is of our love. Show us that there's nowhere else we can go to find the words of eternal life. Please help us to trust him and his pattern. Please help us to see him submitting himself willingly to your plan, and then to know with confidence that we too can submit ourselves to those that you will us to submit ourselves to, knowing that we do so as if we're submitting ourselves to you directly. Please help us to live a life of love, a life of sacrifice for others, a life where we put others' interests first. And please may this point beyond ourselves to you and your goodness and your glory. For your name's sake.